So the Prime Minister has said a second Brexit vote threatens social cohesion. Could another referendum lead to some type of civil unrest? Is this what Theresa May is hinting at? And what do you think? If there were to be another referendum, what would that mean? Would there be civil unrest? Would people take to the streets? Let's speak to the Loyalist commentator, Jimmy Bryson. Morning to you, Jimmy.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning, the commentator, Brendan Mulgrew. Good morning to you, Brendan.
Good morning, Stephen and Jimmy.
Morning.
Morning.
Jimmy, what do you think? Do you think people... What do you think Theresa May means by threatening social cohesion?
Well, I think what she was saying was she was reflecting the fact that if you seek to overturn democracy and you seek to override the democratic will of 17.4 million people, then you say to those 17.4 million people, democracy doesn't work and we're no longer a democratic society because your vote doesn't count. And I think if you say that to people, it's only natural that there would be a thought in the minds of many people, well, where do we go from here? And some people may take the view at that point that they would have to take to the streets to protest. I would put it that way. At the fact that they're the
and do you think those
British people had been over that?
Do you think those protests would be peaceful?
Well, I don't know. You're asking me hypothetical questions.
Yes, I am.
We're in uncharted territory. You're talking here about Parliament overriding the democratic will of 17.4 million people. It's uncharted territory. How can I give you an analysis of what 17.4 million people are going to do? We're talking about Parliament overturning the
Well, presumably you've got a thought process in your head. What's your instinct? You know exactly what I'm doing here.
Well, when Theresa May's asking about threatening social cohesion,
well, I'm asking you to go with me in that. Do you or don't you think that would lead to violence on the streets? I think it's a fair question.
Well, I think if you have 17.5 million people who are told that their democratic vote no longer counts and you have a vast number of those people decide to take to the streets, naturally is going to end up in confrontation, whether that be with the state, whether that be with those who have fought to override the democratic will of the people. And I think naturally that you would get some disruption with that. Let me just clarify this. Let me be clear. I'm talking about 17.4 million people across the United Kingdom. Obviously, I'm from a loyalist background. I don't want this to be misrepresented as me saying that loyalists are going to take the streets. I'm talking about the United Kingdom as a whole and all of those who voted for Brexit.
Maybe Northern Ireland would be okay because the majority of the people in Northern Ireland voted to remain.
Well, no. Let me deal with that point. The United Kingdom joined the European Union as one, and the United Kingdom will leave the European Union as one. It was not a regional vote, so if we follow the logic of your own point, should we divide towns and cities up into who voted to leave and who voted to remain? Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. If we're going to start dividing towns and cities up, let's give an example. Will we keep London in the European Union and take other parts that voted to leave out? No, it's an absolute nonsense. The vote was put to the people of the United Kingdom, and the people of the United Kingdom voted to leave the European Union. We were told that was the people's vote, and now we hear this talk about a people's vote. What they actually mean is they want people to vote again until they get the result that they want.
I'm just trying this morning, because all of these discussions are well-rehearsed, Brendan, and they go round in circles. That's not Jimmy's fault. I go round in circles with Brexit. How can you not? I guess I'm trying to get a gauge this morning as to how much anger there is in Northern Ireland either way. How much anger is there within Remainers? How much anger is there within Brexiteers at even the prospect of another vote, Brendan?
Yeah, we know, Stephen, from listening to your show and others, tempers do get frayed and people feel very, very deeply and very sincerely, whether they're on the leave side of the argument or the remain side of the argument. But, you know, there's another way of looking at the whole issue of the potential for any civil disorder or threat to social cohesion, as Theresa May termed it yesterday. If you were to accept the legitimacy of the argument that a second referendum is the right thing to do because the circumstances have changed, because we now know what it is we would be voting for in more detail, if you accept all of that but say, but we'll not have that referendum because there's a threat of social disorder, that is a threat to democracy, but from a different direction. You know, we'll deny people the choice to have their final say because it might lead to protest. So therefore, the threat of protest wins out over democracy. That's turning the whole thing on its head. And it's even using Jamie's argument against his own position. You know, so we're stuck then, we're marooned forever on a 52-48 basis because of the threat of social disorder, the threat of a breakdown of social cohesion. What is the possible, where is the threat And why are those who are determined to exit the European Union so wary of a second referendum? I just cannot get my head around why someone says democracy is a bad thing. Why, when we get the final shape of the deal, is it undemocratic to about people say, are you sure about this? Here's our implications. Here's the CBI talking about the massive economic damage over the next 15 years to Northern Ireland. Are you sure you want to go down this road? Let's ask them one final time. I think it's a perfectly normal thing to do, and not to do it because of the threat of people shouting in the streets and protesting in the streets. That's an affront to democracy.
Well, that's an absolutely astounding argument to hear anybody on the Remain side put forward, because we have spent 2 years being told that we have to have a backstop, that Northern Ireland has to have special status because it would be a threat to the peace process. So it seems that it's okay for the Remainers to use the argument of some kind of disruption or civil disobedience or even actually terrorism, which may take place if Northern Ireland leaves with the rest of the United Kingdom. But whenever the prospect is raised by the Prime Minister that those who actually won the vote, the 17.4 million people, might take to the streets, then all of a sudden that's unacceptable. So you can't have it both ways. You can't say need a backstop.
Why is everything?
Hold on.
Why is everything black and white
with you? Hold on. You can't say we must have a backstop and harp on for 2 years about a threat to the peace process in order to try and advance your own argument. And then when those who voted to leave the European Union reverse that on you and say, well, 17.4 million people might take the streets, all of a sudden, that's unacceptable. So that argument just doesn't stand up. You're bound by your own argument, and that, and it falls. The second point is this. This is trying to overturn the democratic will of the people and trying to put the veil of democracy on it by saying, we will let you vote again.
So the veil of democracy by asking people to vote?
Yeah.
But how is it overturning? How is it overturning anything if you're not disqualifying people from voting again? So you're not overturning it, you're ratifying it.
Okay, well, how many times do you ask people? So say we go back the second time and the vote is, and I don't believe it would be, but people vote to remain in the European Union. So what then stops us going back a third time?
Well, the logic clearly from those who want the second referendum, look, to be even-handed about this...
But you know the argument.
There is a logic. Of course there's a logic that people were promised that it was a one-off vote, so why vote again? I get that. The counter-argument to that, Jamie, is that there is a lot more information now in the public domain. The public have seen the outpouring and the consequence of the referendum result, so they are better informed, and therefore would the result not hold more water if you checked again with the public now that they've seen the consequences of that referendum result?
Well, if that's how we're going to apply the democratic theory, then let me just flip that around. Let's have another vote on the Belfast Agreement, because nobody knew about OTR letters. Nobody knew how that was going to play out. And now that we know all about it, and now that we know about the secret deals that was done between the IRA and Tony Blair, let's have another referendum on the Belfast Agreement.
It's a very strong argument that you make. It's a very strong argument. But rather than get off on that tangent, as strong an argument as it is, are you seriously saying that people, if they were given another chance to vote, would be less informed than they were 2 years ago?
But how many times to... Just one more time. Why only one more time? Follow the logic of your own argument. Because after the second vote...
Why not one more time? Follow the logic of your argument.
Let me go with this. So society is constantly evolving, so you're constantly getting more information. So if the second vote, if the logic of it is when you have more information, you go back and vote again. So after the second vote, society will continue to evolve and will continue to get more information. Do we go back the year after and vote again? And then vote again? It's an absolute nonsense. The Prime Minister, the British government, sent a leaflet to every person in the United Kingdom and said, this is your vote, this is your decision, this is once-in-a-generation vote. Do you want to leave the European Union? 17.4 million British people said yes, and now there is an insurgency by the elitist establishment to shut that down. And it is unacceptable, and it is anti-democratic, and to try and put the veil of democracy on is an absolute disgrace, to be honest.
Brendan?
Jimmy, do you think that if there was a second referendum, that the Brexit vote to leave would win out again?
Yes, I do, because I actually think many people that voted to
leave... Why not take your chance? Why not have the courage of your convictions? Take your chances and see what people say. What are you?
Why would I? Do you want to talk about your... Well, let me flip my earlier argument, which Stephen conceded was a strong one. Do you want to have an early referendum on the Belfast Agreement? Have the courage of your conviction?
It's not a strong argument.
It's not a strong argument.
On a 20-year-old deal which has been implemented.
It deploys exactly the same theory as you're trying to deploy. I am deploying the same theory against you, and you don't want it. So what you want is you want a referendum on Brexit because you want to overturn the democratic will of the people. So you will deploy any argument that suits yourself. And when I turn that theory upon you, all of a sudden you don't want
it. And you want to deny the democratic opportunity to give the people a second chance.
Well, let's go with this.
Would you stop saying let's... Have you got these little phrases in a wee pocketbook? What do you mean, let's go with it?
Let's go with it. What about a third time?
We had a vote on the Good Friday Agreement. And Jamie, as you say, before the referendum 2 years ago, we all got a leaflet through the door. It had about 100 words on it. In 1988, we all got a copy of the agreement through our doors. It was a 20-page document. It was the most detailed document you could have read and then voted on. There's no argument that what went through our doors 2 years ago bears any resemblance to what is now being presented.
Brendan, I'm going to just turn your own argument on you. Can you point out to me exactly where in the Belfast Agreement, what paragraph it mentions OTR letters and royal pardons?
Right, but you're equating OTR letters with what? With the structures that we voted for in the Good Friday Agreement? That was a political outworking.
If you listen to Tony Blair when he went before the Northern Ireland Affairs Committee, Tony Blair made clear that the OTR letters and the royal pardons was a key part of getting the Belfast Agreement up and running and what he called the peace process. So therefore, we now have more information than we did in 1998. Should we go back and vote again? I'm turning your own theory on you.
It's a nonsense argument.
Now, if we come back to what we initially started talking about, which was, you know, is there any prospect of violence of this, as Theresa May described it, threatening whatever social cohesion is? Marissa McGlinchey is an assistant professor at Coventry University. She's just written on Finnish Business, The Politics of Dissident Irish Republicanism. She was on Good Morning Ulster and she was asked if the new IRA were trying to capitalise on the political uncertainty.
Well, if we look at the Ciaru Ardaish again, that is the best way to gauge this, because the party's then chairperson, Davy Jordan, said that England's difficulty is Ireland's opportunity. And he said he hoped that Brexit would be as hard as hell because it was something to be exploited. Davy Jordan said very clearly there's a generation of young people who don't remember the physical manifestation of a hard border. And with Brexit catapulting the issue of a hard border back into the mainstream, they definitely see it as something to be exploited.
Brendan?
Well, sorry, I think what we've seen over the last few days, particularly in Derry, and there were some incidents in Belfast yesterday too, is nothing short of an attack on the people of Derry. I don't think that it's driven by any semblance of a political ideology. I don't even think that those people involved in those attacks would know one end of Brexit from the other. It's thuggery. I remove it totally from the argument we're currently having around pro and anti-Brexit or pro and anti-remain positions. I think it's just paramilitary thuggery which needs to be dealt with as it stands.
Here's Dawn in Belfast. Morning, Dawn.
Morning, Stephen. I just think, listen, this has been going on for 2.5 years since the first referendum, and I think the only way out of this mess, especially for us in Northern Ireland, is to have a vote about whatever Theresa May ends up with. Do you want this? It will last forever for the rest of your children's lives. Or do you want no deal that some people like Jacob Rees-Mogg and people want? Or do you want to stay and keep what?
But you've heard Jimmy Bryson articulate the Brexiteer argument, which is we've already had this vote.
Well, I don't know. I can't. We're in a mess. There was a general election in 2015, and nobody was saying, what about democracy, when Theresa May said 2 years later, oh, we have to do it again, and everybody went and voted again, and here we all are. So no, I think it's the only way through this mess. Like, listen to what's been going on every morning, and it's all so scary. And I think if we all have a chance to have our say, and we'll see what the result of that is,
Dawn,
these people can stand up and say, yeah, OK, I want this, or I don't want this.
Dawn, thank you. Peter in Belfast. Morning, Peter.
Well, I'm not a fan of Jamie, but I think he's speaking good sense. And at the end of the day, this org guy's going on about the Good Friday Agreement. It's the same things. There was things promised about Brexit that never happened. There was also good things about the Good Friday Agreement. But the thing is, there was both wee side issues there. And, you know, let's be honest, I believe as well, if the Good Friday Agreement was put in front of us again, because we know what happened, I wouldn't say yes to it. And at the end of the day, you know, Jamie's wasting his time coming on there, because if you want to know what's happening in Loudoun Circus, ask Claire Hannah or somebody in the SDLP, because they seem to think that they know what everybody in the Loudoun Circus are talking about. I don't think everybody...
I don't know why you're bringing Claire Hannah into it, and she's not on the programme to speak for herself, and she has nothing to do with this discussion. So let's stick to what we're talking about. No. Yes.
Listen,
let's stick to this.
I'm sticking it. You've been around the show or somebody else.
Not on the show today.
No, but Sonny, and she'll go and the Loudoun Circus...
No, we're not talking about Claire Hannah.
I know, but she's...
Wind your neck in. We are not talking about Claire Hannah.
That's okay, Stephen. So what they're not saying is you have...
We're not talking... George Nashanko. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. I think what he's trying to say is people on the Remain side telling us that unionist areas don't want this and don't want that. Have you listened to unionists at the minute? The DUP are standing firmly at the forefront for what most unionists want, and that's no backstop. You know, people keep saying that Northern Ireland voted to remain. Well, that may have been so, but it's been pointed out.
It's a pretty fundamental point.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Apart from
Stephen, hold on, because you really care. You really care about people in sunny Dorset, Jimmy Bryson, don't you?
No, Stephen.
Or Bournemouth. Or you go for your bit of rock in Blackpool.
Hold on.
Stephen, can I finish my point?
Yes.
Go ahead, George.
Right. Now, we all know that the UUP were on the Remain side, not during the vote, but now that's all moved to firmly of all. You not show me one unionist politician that's not standing squarely behind the DUP's viewpoint on this. And see Brendan keeping telling us that
a second referendum
for now when we're voting for. I know what I voted for. And so did everybody. I voted for
questions
on the paper.
Hold on. We're not shouting today. Let Brendan speak to you. Hold on. Let Brendan speak to you, and then
you
can reply.
George, you didn't know what you voted for. What you were voting for. Nobody knew that we were going to be in the mess that we're now in. Nobody knew that we were going to be faced with either Theresa May's deal or a no-deal Brexit and all that. We did not know that. You didn't know what you were voting for.
Listen, hold on. Stephen, there is the elitist attitude at the heart.
Elitist attitude.
Jamie, hold on.
Hold on. Let's let Jamie finish. Hold on.
There is the elitist attitude at the heart of those standing over the democratic will of the British people. George comes on the radio and puts forward his viewpoint that he knew what he was voting for, and that was to leave the European Union. And then we have Brendan, who tells George, as if George is some idiot that can't make up his own mind, you didn't know what you were voting for.
That's not fair, Jimmy.
That is what you said. George said he knew what he
none
was voting for, and
none
you then... And you then said to George, no, you don't know what you were voting for.
Let's let Brendan respond to what he meant.
Just say that to the man.
Let's let him.
Because, none of us knew in 2016 the situation we'd be facing.
I knew what I was voting
January
for.
January 2019.
I knew what I was voting for. I was voting to leave the European Union.
You had a deep understanding of the backstop,
none
did you?
I argued all along. That I saw Brexit as an opportunity to override the Belfast Agreement. I've been very open about that from the very start. So, yes, I did know what I was voting
the
for.
DUP,
I did know.
The DUP themselves have told me, through Geoffrey Donaldson, I believe when he was on the Five Live show just before Christmas there, he was saying that they didn't consider the backstop before the referendum because nobody was talking about it.
Why would you have been talking about it? Why this?
How can you claim to have known about it then?
No, this is Brendan's point. I said, and I am a minority within a minority on this viewpoint, but I said all along that I saw Brexit as an opportunity to override the Belfast Agreement because it would put an end to all Ireland harmonisation. So I knew there was going to be an issue with the border, and I thought unionism would come out on top of that.
Okay, Brendan, and then George.
Take advantage.
The point that I'm making, with every respect to George and all of us who voted in the referendum, none of us knew, when we were asked the question in June 2016, none of us knew the situation we would currently face in January 2019 or in the month to come. We didn't know, the word backstop wasn't in common usage. We didn't know that there was a possibility of a no-deal Brexit and all of that entails. Theresa May's deal hadn't been heard of. So we did not know what we were voting for. And if everyone's so confident, and if Jamie is so confident that there'd be a Brexit vote again in a second referendum, what's to be feared?
And yet we were all promised, Brendan, by the British Prime Minister, David Cameron at the time, that whatever the result of the referendum was, that it would be honoured.
I know, and even David Cameron did not know when he made that promise.
But he made the promise, that's the point.
The situation we would be facing. Well, then let's have another say on it.
George, I promise to let you come back, George.
Yes, well, Brendan, with respect, I knew all what I was voting for. As I say now, if you let me finish the thing, there was two questions on the ballot paper, leave or remain. Now, you're saying we didn't know what would be in this mess. The reason why we're in this mess, and the sole reason why we're in this mess, is because the likes of you and other Remainers didn't accept the vote the first time round and handed the European Union the whip hand in negotiations by constantly getting in the way of the government trying to negotiate a deal which would have seen us all leave with a good deal probably at the right time, which I hope we still do. But the reason why we're in the mess, my point is because you and others don't accept the democratic vote that happened 2 years ago. And now this people's vote mantra you are calling for, that the only people that's calling for a people's vote is those that lost the referendum. The majority that won the referendum are not and do not want
Michael,
a second referendum.
Michael writes to us on email, nolan@bbc.co.uk, and Michael says, everyone keeps on going on about honouring the democratic will of the people, but it's conveniently ignored that 76.5% of the electorate did not vote for the Tories to form a government, and they're only clinging on to power at the behest of a minority party, says Michael. Here's Tom in Banbridge. Morning, Tom.
They're still the biggest party in the UK. But my question, my point is to the gentleman that is talking about not knowing what they were voting for when
Brendan
they come out
Mulgrew.
of the European
yes.
Union. He did know that there was 22 billion goes into the to Europe, and there's 8.5 billion comes out. This is the European money that everybody talks about. That's what comes out. Now, can that gentleman tell me, did he know that? And number two, seeing he's so keen on it, can he tell me where the 14 billion goes to? And I've asked this question several times in your show. Twice I was told the people didn't know. Maybe that gentleman could enlighten me.
No, I don't know. I don't have the answer. I don't have the detailed answer to that question. But I do know one thing. There's no 350 million quid a week going into the NHS, which is one of the pledges of those who urge us all to vote to get out of the European Union.
And the sky hasn't fell in.
What about the violence side of it? Did you have a wee look at France lately?
We're not in great shape in the NHS.
They're in the European Union. And they want to stay in it, apparently. Although I know some people in the south of France that want out of it.
Do you think if there was another referendum, there would be violence on the streets, Tom?
Stephen, look, would I tell you something? You have aggravators coming from every side. You know, I'm saying, look at France at the moment. They're wrecking the place because the petrol's too dear. I have a BMW 745 doing 16 miles to the gallon. I'm not going to go out and fight.
16 miles to the gallon?
Yeah. On a lover.
You need an electric car.
What?
I've been looking at these electric cars.
I used to drive an electric bread van. No thanks.
Did you? I used to work on an electric milk van.
Did you?
I did. I was up in the...
What make was yours?
I was probably around Jimmy's wee door in the middle of the night.
No, mine was a brush.
Little did he know.
That wouldn't be the first time.
Look, I'm really serious about this. If these people that are yes. talking about remaining in Europe would take a wee honest look at everything that goes on it, do you really want to work with a man like the head of the exit team? He's so hell-bent on sitting where he is. No movement at all. He said it yesterday.
Well, listen,
do you really want to work with a man like that?
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Brendan, thank you very much.
Okay.
Jamie, thank you. I never got to tell my story about how I used to deliver the milk around the Woodvale at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning.
All the best.
Bye-bye. It's true. I did that for a fiver on a Sunday. a fiver, up in the middle of the night, delivering milk. That's where I've got my work ethic from, all these people ringing in me.